The Rush Hour. Gus Warland, Jude Bolton, and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Big show.
Big show today. Drew Mitchell, your mate's coming on. And
yeah, well, our mate, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And he still owes us some wine. Doesn't he have a wine company? He said years ago he was going to drop in some Pinot, and we've seen nothing.
I probably struck those.
Oh, so he gave them to you?
No, he didn't give them
when
me.
When you're couch surfing on his chair.
Yeah, when I say my welcome.
How are you, big fella?
Yeah, no, heaps better today.
You coming down after the love you received up there in Brisbane at Magic Round?
No, yeah, it was good. It was back to normal now. So yeah,
beautiful. Aussie families are investing in their own chickens, and we know this because Jude Bolton, you have a chicken pen out the back of your joint,
little coop,
in Leafy Lane Cove. Because apparently for a carton of free range eggs, $15 now. What did they used to be?
We're ahead of the time. We're ahead of the game.
How many eggs do you get from your chickens?
We just got it during COVID because the girls, we just wanted to get them outside, to be honest.
Like, okay.
Get them out of the house.
And how many chickens have you got?
We've got six.
Have you named them?
Yeah, names like Raven and Ariane Titmus, Chewbacca.
What?
Chris Hensworth, there's a few of them.
Yeah. Okay, obviously your missus named
Chris Hensworth.
Yeah. And what are the eggs like out of those?
Oh,
like they're different gravy, aren't they?
It's beautiful. Yeah, like we get on a good week, it's like 25 eggs a week. So there's neighbours. The girls have set up a little business. They're going around and drop the letters in the neighbour's letterbox.
Nicely done. Well, how about that, Del? He's got a little side trick. Are you taking some commission off the girls for all that?
Side hustle.
There's a dad tax as well.
Like, yeah, of course.
I take the best eggs for my omelets and stuff like that, and then
fantastic. Well, beautiful. $15 for a carton, that's more than a buck an egg. So they're onto something. Might want to bring some in for us, big fella.
I love eggs. I actually had some beautiful eggs today. Some chili on eggs. Beautiful. And I don't usually like chili, but it was nice.
Chili egged.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Rush Hour with Gus, Jude, and Wendell. And time now for this.
What a loyal Jude gives us his locker room chat this week. Celebrate your supermom with Bing Lee and their huge range of great gift ideas. Head to Bing Lee today.
Yeah, Jude, let's talk about AFL, mate. A full review of performance and operations is required now at the Essendon Footy Club. Is their coach, Ben Rutten, in trouble after a really poor showing up against the Swannies?
Oh, look, he's certainly got the eyes of the footy world on him at this point. He's got an extra year on his contract at this point. When you've got someone like Alistair Clarkson out there and, you know, some quality other types around there, if a payout is only a couple of hundred grand and the form doesn't continue the way the power brokers want it to continue, well, you know, that's where he's in trouble. But
they're a huge club, aren't they, Essendon? People don't probably quite understand in Sydney.
I actually don't know him. It'd be 70,000-80,000 members. Yeah. I'd have to have a look at the numbers. But they're just the wealth of supporter base that are just disgruntled with the way they're performing, the lack of want and energy. And I did like that Dyson Heppel showed up on one of the shows on TV last night. He answered all the questions, but you're judged by the actions on the weekend, not your talk during the week. It's the 2 hours on the weekend.
Mate, okay. They are an iconic brand in Australian sport, in world sport too, mate. The Bombers.
They've been through the ringer, though, haven't
they?
Like,
mate,
very much like Cronulla did, but even worse.
That's been the question of have they recovered completely from that?
Yeah, okay. What about the AFL judiciary? They've handed out some bizarre verdicts of late, particularly last weekend with Liam Ryan and Tom Lynch. What do you make of it?
So Tom Lynch got off. He actually got off for a one where he picked up the ball and elbowed his opponent pretty much in the jaw. And it was, you know, a significant incident. It was completely exonerated. Basically, he said it was a fair movement in going for the football. I thought once you start to raise the elbow, you know, you're putting others at risk. Another young guy from Melbourne got handed a two-week suspension for a footy action, which was a tackle, but it was a double action, and the guy was concussed in that process. So Kay Chandler will miss two games. And Liam Ryan was a really interesting one. I felt he came off really light. It was only a given a week. So there has been some bizarre incidents, and it feels like, you know, a chook raffle at times. You'd love to have some consistency, or at least understand, well, why are we judging purely on the outcome rather than the action?
Mm.
That's what I get.
Well, if you 300-odd games and two premierships are sitting there going, I'm not sure, probably a good reason to actually have a look at it, because you know the game, you love the game, you live the game.
Oh, but especially explaining to it in northern markets and trying to say, well, Now, the reason why they've gone around this is that, and then someone will come and say, well, this incident was completely the same. Yep. Why? And then it's so there's a lot of ticky-tuck, touchwood, 50-metre penalties at this point. There's,
people are blowing up about that,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah, so there's a few things across the game that need to be sorted out and bedded down.
Well, what about the GWS close and home? The new coach here, Mark Mivay, what should he be focusing on now with Leon Cameron's departure?
I think it's just bringing the players back together in these sort of tumultuous times. And, you know, with Trent Barrett leaving, you know, Canterbury. Yep.
Is he going to the Giants? Is
Certainly, certainly bring, you know, you rally the wagons around, you bring everyone together. So getting that cohesiveness is the first and foremost. It's little about game plan. You want effort. You want just to see that improvement and spark from the players. So giving them that confidence, letting them play to their strengths, that's what I want to see in this next couple of weeks.
What about the Swannies? They had a big test against the Lions. They failed it. Coming up next, how about this for a little teamwork? Carlton, then Richmond, then Melbourne before the bye. That will really sort them out where they are, right?
Absolutely, yeah. They've had a great win on the weekend. As you mentioned before that, they got touched up by the Lions, but the Lions are a genuine contender. These three games, you'll know where Sydney sit after this. And I thought they really got their contest work back on the weekend. I thought their flow of ball movement was far better. They used the footy well and didn't get intercepted and turned over as much as they have previous times. So I'm excited to see how they go with Carlton. Just deal with that one first and see how they go. It's a big game. It's the start of the Indigenous round, the Sir Doug Nicholls round. It's Dane Rampey's 200th game. So let's see how the Swans perform there, and then they tackle the Tigers and the D's.
Oh, let's go. For the latest entertainment and tech gear, plus a huge range of appliances, shop online at bingley.com.au. Available for delivery or 1 hour, contactless, click and collect at your local store. Thank you, Bingley, for supporting the AFL Wrap. Coming up next, we talk to rugby legend Drew Mitchell.
The Rush Hour. Gus, Jude and Wendell.
Welcome back to the Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Time now to talk rugby union. Let's talk to this wallaby.
Our next guest is an Australian rugby union legend. Since making his debut for the Wallabies in 2005, he went on to become our highest try scorer in Rugby World Cups. This guy's played rugby union all around the globe, from France for Toulon to Britain. Well, let me guess, he played for Toulon. I know, it says it here. Oh, the Barbarians. Oh, that's an invitational thing. Very fancy, very schoolboy and all that. So on that note, we'd like to cordially invite him to come and chat to the Rush Hour this afternoon on Triple M. Yours in eager anticipation of your response.
Ow, I jammed myself in the eye with the big quill feather pen.
Please welcome Drew Mitchell.
Yeah, he's one of the greats and a great friend of the show. Welcome back to the show, mate. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Thanks for having me back.
Mate, it's an absolute pleasure. Lots to talk around the game of rugby, but of course, we've got the World Cups for the men and women. And I'm really interested in your thoughts around, let's not go and get rugby league players again like we've done in the past. Let's go and make sure that we get some players that have played all the way through rugby as their first choice game.
I'm not necessarily against the rugby league thing. Obviously, we had some great success by one of your co-hosts there, Wendell Saylor, in the past. But I just think in the week that we've just announced such great things for our game of rugby union. We've got the 2025 British and Irish Lions Tour. Then we've got the hosting the World Cup in 27 and the women's in 29. I just think it was a great opportunity to talk our game up, not put the focus on a different game and talk about, you know, our CEO and coaches have already had some discussions with rugby league players. I just think, you know, I tweeted something through the week and I've had a lot of feedback from people who are coaches in the grassroots level, you know, like junior clubs and schools, just feeling like their work's kind of going a little bit overlooked because it doesn't feel like they've got the trust in our own grassroots program and pathways to go on and win a home World Cup. Therefore, they have to go on and poach the leagueies. That may end up happening down the track, but I just think, especially in the first week of an amazing announcement and such a shot in the arm for our game, that when you all of a sudden start changing the conversation around which rugby league players would you pick, you know, to join rugby. It was just, I know, I just think it was probably poor timing more than anything.
Yeah, mate, I agree with you, Drew. Like, I've said this before, you know, I enjoyed my time in rugby union probably a bit too much, but then even I did some stuff with the Classic Wallabies and I do the functions and that. And I don't know, you both do some stuff in the grassroots region. Oh, how good is it? I'm coming to, where's your rugby club? I'm coming to your rugby club and going on one of your boxes one day. What's that?
Oh, yeah, down the Ringarats.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Shoot Shield to me is one of the great afternoons, watching all grades, mate. Having a few. Mate, Don't worry about the students, yeah, mate. They've got plenty of people. Yeah. We've got the Warringah Rats going on here.
But, Drew, it's one of those things now too, mate, there's a lot of upside to what's happening. Now, where do we get it wrong over the years with all that money from the 2003 World Cup, mate?
Yeah, look, I just think, and this is obviously a bit of a surface level understanding of it from my end, because I wasn't involved in any of those discussions or decisions. Yep. But I just feel like we put all our money into the top end of, like, which is the Wallabies, to try and inspire future Wallabies. Whereas what we really need to do is put them at the bottom end of the game, at the grassroots level, to develop future Wallabies. And that's where I think we probably got it wrong. We're too busy trying to inspire rather than develop. And I think if we go back and we put money into that grassroots level at all levels as well. And I think we've probably been a little bit too reliant on the GPS school system to give all of our you know, our up-and-coming players, to get them from that kind of a pool. Going back onto that league thing as well, I think there's been so many players that have gone through our pathways and represented our clubs, our schools, states, and even country that have gone and played overseas. And it's one thing, it's kind of a bit backward, I think. We celebrate the global nature of our game, but then when someone goes and chooses to take up that opportunity, then then hamstrung from going and getting selected for our countries.
Drew, the revised Matt Giteau law is just allows Dave Rennie to, you know, have access to a few more international players. Who do you look like picking up for the July series?
Yeah, well, I mean, it looks like just in the last 24 hours, it looks like they're probably going to go with the Japanese-based guys in Marika Korombete, Samu Karevi, and Quade Cooper. They had some pretty good success with Samu and Quade last year, and now Marika's gone over there as well to join them in Japan. So, and he's been one of our best friends the last few years. So it looks like in the immediate term, it's going to be those guys for the England series. That kind of allowance to just pick two or three players, I think, is probably going to come down to what positions we need it for most moving forward. So at the moment, they probably think 10, 12 with Quade and Samu, and given what they did last year is key. But, you know, down the track, you don't know with form or injuries and who's available and that type of thing. It might be, they might look for someone else.
Hey, boys, I've got to say, you know, Drew and I have been mates for a long time. I've tried to mentor him the best way that I can.
Oh, my goodness, mate.
But now listen to this. Mate, Matt Giteau is obviously married to Buddy Franklin's sister, Bianca. Yep. Anyway, what about this for a wedding? There was Lottie Dakiri, Matt Giteau, obviously, Drew Mitchell, myself, and Adam Ashley Cooper. Imagine being around
in the
us. Yeah, no, we were all there at the wedding together. Oh, it was one of the best weddings.
And booted. How was that day?
Look, it was pretty big, and I think I got a bit of stick from Wendell because I was the best man, made a speech, and I said, for those of you who I haven't met or who don't read a newspaper, I'm Drew Mitchell, and that was straight out of Wendell's textbook. He didn't like it that I was taking his
material.
Quotes.
Hey, Drew, thank you so much, mate. You've spoken a lot of sense, and keep sticking up for rugby, mate, because that's what it's all about. And thanks for joining us again on the show, and your work on Stan as well. Yeah, the really important stuff. People phone us in, people get on our socials, they ask us questions, we come up with the answers. So this is one from Brian from Padstow, and he says, boys, fix up this issue for me. Can you show up at someone's house without notice, unannounced? Can you just lob at someone's house without sending a text or giving them a phone call and saying I'm in the area? What are your thoughts?
I reckon 90%. No, you shouldn't.
No.
You unannounced, no. You
what do you mean 90%? What does that mean?
Well, I reckon there's probably exceptions like your mum or something like that. Like they'll just turn up and or your grandma or something like that. As if you're going to knock them
back. So is it just family members or are you talking about just mum and grandma can lob?
I reckon most people have access to communication to be able to just say, look, I'm in town or I'm around, love to have a cuppa or love to go for a beer. And you're like, okay. That's a heads up. I can clean the house. I can do something. Yeah. I can get out of my boxes
sort yourself out a little bit. Yeah. What are your thoughts, mate?
No, you can't just lob up, mate. I don't like it. You can't just lob
You're
up.
You're a lobber. No, you are a lobber.
No, I've lobbed. No.
But you lob more than Federer.
No. You know, like, because if I'm on the couch and I'm in my undies, you know, I don't want people just coming in willy-nilly.
Literally, willy-nilly.
Yeah, willy-nilly. Mate, you got to tell me, and mate, mentally, like, because I got big energy, like, when I'm home, I just want to be left alone.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, I'm all for it. Whatever. Just lob. I got a mate of mine called Rob, and he literally
just... So you're like an open-door policy.
Open-door policy, whatever you like. Lob, fantastic to see you, and we can change plans as well. Like, if I'm sitting down and going, I'm not going to drink today, and I'm just going to do this, I can easily go into... full drinking mode, full sport mode, get something on main event, I can literally just switch. I can pivot. So I'm a big fan
Vicks
of the lot.
What about Vicks
no,
then?
No, not
so
at
you're
all.
Spontaneous and then yeah. Vicks would just go,
why it works so well. Give us a call, 133353. So let's go to Ben in Summerhill. G'day, Ben.
G'day, Gus. How are you, mate?
I'm good, thanks, mate. Do you have to give some notice or can you just turn up unannounced?
Look, mate, I'm on the turn up unannounced sort of thing, mate.
Ben, do you have kids at all, Ben, or not?
Mate, I do. I've got two teenage boys, so I can understand how sometimes it's a trouble. But, you know, it's not like the Queen's turning up, mate.
Yeah,
you don't expect a lot, Ben, do you? Just an open door and a few smiles and perhaps a beer or a cup of tea, depending on the day.
Just that witching hour when you've had a bit of a meltdown. I'm just interesting.
Let's go to Lachlan now, Narellan. G'day, Lockie. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, man. How are you going?
Yeah, good thanks. Unannounced, what do you reckon?
Oh, I'm with Del, man. No way. No way.
Why?
Your home is your private sanctuary, you know. That's the one place you get to have your own space and time. And, mate, if someone's rocking up while I'm trying to enjoy that, well, sorry.
How much heads up do they need, Lachlan? Like, if they're going to come around?
Give me half an hour, I reckon, and it might be all right, might be sorted, but yeah, I'm not a fan of it, eh? I'm completely with Dale there, man.
No worries. We'll get your address and perhaps the three of us will rock up one day, Lockie. What about Vicky? G'day, Vix.
Hi, how are you all?
Yeah, good, thanks. What do you reckon? Can you show up at someone's house unannounced?
Yeah, I don't care. So long as you don't mind what's going on, who cares?
Yeah, I like that. I like that attitude. Fantastic, from Vix. Vicky. Very, very solid.
How long can you stay there then, Vicky?
As long as you want. I'm the type of person that likes to get out in my backyard in my underwear or go swimming naked. And if someone turns up unannounced, well, hey, I don't care. It's up to them. If they don't like it, they can leave or they can stay.
Hey, Vicky.
So look, usually they stay. It's always people I know. They know what I'm like. And, you know, I'm in for fun. And I did have one instance though where the gas man come to read the meter and I was floating around in my pool and he has to come in the gate to go around the other side of the house and I was actually asleep because it was in the middle of summer and I heard someone and he was sort of trying to be quiet, sneaking off after he read the meter. Now I thought that was quite hilarious, to be honest.
Of course. So you were lying there in the nude just on the banana chair, were you?
No, in the pool on my beanbag.
Oh, wow. Nice fix. Really good. I reckon that's the best caller we've ever had. Vicky, you are the captain of our callers.
That's like all Vicks, they like getting a little bit.
He's come back and checked the meter a few times since.
Yeah, don't worry about that. He's checking on a weekly basis, no doubt.
Up next, we are talking unusual jobs.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Just throwing out the question, most unusual jobs that are out there. We've got a list here that came out from all around the world. You go through a couple for our listeners, brother.
Well, number one, a golf ball diver. Golf ball divers, Dell, can earn up to $600 to $1,000 a day, but you have to spend 6 hours underwater looking for golf balls. So,
yeah, no thanks, mate.
Just follow me around. I deposit balls. If I see a bit of water, that's where my drive goes. Yeah. That's where my approach shot goes. What do you like with that, big fella?
No, I'm sweet, mate. I'm over the water, mate. I'm too easy, brother.
What about this one?
I played golf with you, remember?
It doesn't matter, mate. I don't put any balls in the water, mate. Yeah. You've won no championships like me, mate.
What about this one? A professional bridesmaid. So, like, basically they just pull in the bridesmaids so they turn up for the wedding photos.
All dressed up and looking nice for photos. I can understand that.
Is that a job?
It's nice. What about a shark tagger?
Is that a rent-a-mate?
Yeah, it's basically a rent-a-mate. And people, you know, they do the same for groomsmen. For best man and all that sort of stuff,
is
too.
Is that because your friends aren't good looking enough?
Or you just haven't got any mates. That's one thing. Or you're in a foreign country and you just want to drag a few people in for the party. Why not? What about a shark tagger? Would you do that?
Oh, no, thank you, mate. No, I don't want nothing to do with any sharks, mate.
Exactly right. What about a teddy bear doctor repairing dolls and teddy bears? I suppose someone has to do that.
Yeah, well, you're a bit weird. You do that.
Yeah. What? You're tired now, aren't you? Because you're starting to sledge.
No, I can tell when you're tired.
There's those random jobs where people are smelling armpits and things like that as well. Yeah. You know, for just deodorant and understand whether it's actually working.
Exactly. So you spray now and get that smell, and in 6 hours' time, 12 hours' time, 18 hours, and 24 hours.
Do you need a degree?
Now on the North,
do you need
says,
a degree or a qualification for that?
I think you just need a big, you know, good snoz on you. You know,
Bill Laurie. Bill Laurie.
Bill Laurie would be bloody perfect. So give us a call, 133353, the most unusual jobs. G'day, Jace.
How you going, mate?
Yeah, we've got it, mate. Jace. What job is it?
Mate, I used to drive a semi and collect human feces from Sydney Water.
Oh, hacky dokey.
Couple of tough days there, Jace.
Mate, yeah, if you open the door wrong, yeah, it was.
Oh, I bet it was. So what did you put under your nose to sort of make sure the smell wasn't too much for you? A little bit of Vicks Vapor Rub or something?
No. I think you sort of got used to it after a while.
Okay, thank you, Jace. What about Amanda and Cronulla? G'day, Amanda.
Hello, how you going, boys? Yeah,
good, thank you. What is the most unusual job for you?
Oh, look, recently I was watching the Olympics and I'm watching the swimmers and they're getting up on the blocks and sitting there in the background was a guy, lifeguard with a flotation device.
Yeah, yeah. Mate, you got,
yeah.
Not as busy.
So bored.
Yeah.
I suppose that's a regulation guideline thing.
You've
got
to have him there, don't
you? He's not doing a lot of swimming, is he, the big fella? Thanks, Amanda. What about Sean up there in the Central Coast? G'day, Sean.
How you going, mate?
Yeah, we're good. Thanks for listening to the show, mate. What's the unusual job?
Well, this one's a little different. You know, the old entertainment industry, the adult entertainment industry.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
all the fellas know. Anyway, when the blokes need to kind of get jiggy, they need a flopper. So that's pretty damn unusual.
Oh, Gus knows all about that.
What about your mate, Jude? For the first time ever, at the age of 42, he's got himself a phone.
Yeah, it's
he existed?
It's my brother-in-law, is one of his best mates. He's a great fella. And Lock Strong, we always sing, Lean on Me When You're Lock Strong. But anyway,
is that his surname, Lock Strong? Yeah. That's a great name.
It's good name. However, 42, and he jumped in this group text just the other day, and it was the big welcome. It's like I thought it'd just been just added to the group, and they said, no, welcome. For the first time, he's got a phone. And I was like, how does this work? Like, yeah. It's just the fact that it's got through 42 years without a phone, or at least.
Well, call it from 18.
Yeah. At least 18, yeah.
Yeah, so what's that, 18? 22 years?
But there's the whole logistics of, like, why now? Like, you've got through so long, if you've avoided that. And he does have young kids, but I think what it's come down to is his wife is just sick of him sort of using her phone to try and organize other guys and like other different things and get to different events and stuff. But I mean, it just got me thinking, like, what does he have to do his time? Do you have to be on a Nokia 3310 to start with? Like, and
I remember
old school and learn Snake first up, and you've got to go through you got to do your dues, surely.
And the Motorola flip phone, remember that?
Yeah, the little Razor or whatever.
Yeah, the Razor, yeah. That's right.
But it just,
the first phone I ever had, literally, because I'm 10 years older than you, 10 years older than you and 5 years older than you, Dell, literally was like a car battery.
The big
and
brick.
You carried it around, and the brick obviously was the battery, and it was actually hooked onto the car battery, and you'd walk around the streets carrying this car battery with like a wire up to you.
You would have just said you. Double-breasted suit. It's just terrible salesman. But it got me thinking about it. So people have obviously gone, this is your first phone. So the first illicit pic has been sent to him. Just, like the eggplant.
The eggplant sent. What about an actual, like a picture of someone?
I don't know. I'm not sure, but it's.
Bits and bobs.
I think. People are having a bit of fun with it. People are having a bit of fun with it for a start.
Of course. Well, I just can't believe he's got away with it for so long. And fair play, because I love it.
Dell just got onto digital banking only recently.
I'd never bring me into it, mate.
So
but he's got that much the accountant has to deal with those sort of figures. Forbes have put together a list of the top 10 highest earners in sport over the last year. So let's start the ball rolling. The Greek Freak.
Yeah, they got knocked out, the Milwaukee Bucks.
They did.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, absolute legend. Guess how much he earned, just quietly? How do you reckon he went?
I've got no idea.
On-field, $40 million. Off-field, $41
million. Wow.
And he's coming at number 10.
Yep.
But what about this bloke at number 9, Tom Brady?
Brady run for it. They give him the whole field. Brady slides to the 12. Of all ways to get it done. 17-yard run.
The fact that he just signed a Fox deal that is basically going to pay more than what he earned on field is just staggering.
Incredible. He's in nearly 20 years, and he's going to make that in 10 years just chatting about it.
How
good that.
He's one of the greats.
Oh, he's an absolutely fantastic. What about at number 7, Roger Federer, on field? On field, he hasn't earned that much this year. On court, I should say, yeah. But off the field, 90 million. Wow. He's earned 700,000 on court, 90 million off court. What about Roger Federer?
It's in! Matchroom for Federer! He's champion of Australia for the fifth time, and it's major number 18 for the Swiss maestro.
But brands just love him. Like, he's just, he's so likable.
He's bankable.
Yeah.
Bankable and wonderful. But I think we've obviously seen the best of him. He won't play that many tournaments, but wouldn't it be great if he got up for Wimbledon and won it or came to Australian Open? What, imagine that night.
He's not winning any more tournaments, mate.
Are you putting a line through Roger?
He's done.
Oh, well, I might.
It's a bit harsh. Yeah. What about Kevin Durant? He's up next. He got 42 million on field, 50 million off. So much more money off field than on field. Yeah. And this spoke, Stephen Curry, he earned a fortune.
Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry! With 0.6 of a second remaining.
93 million he got.
So no NBA player made more in salary this season than Steph Curry.
Absolutely brilliant. And of course, Neymar in there at number four. Football players, of course, you know, right up there in terms of money. Cristiano Ronaldo, 115 million.
Oh, what a strike! Goodness. Wonderful goal from Cristiano Ronaldo. The goalkeeper was rendered a mere spectator as it bowls the back of the net.
He's a very sexy guy too, just quite like
keeps himself in ripping nick, doesn't he?
Unbelievable.
He's absolutely fantastic, and I love him. And the fact that he takes his mum to you know, prize nights and that type of stuff and made sure that she was okay.
She's lived with him for so long, though. You're just like, yep, she looked after me and I'll look after her.
That's absolutely fantastic. Coming second place, LeBron James.
Randle being physical with James. Shot clock down to four. LeBron lost it. Now regains, fires away.
41 million on court, 80 million off court.
Well, he did the Space Jam as well, the new legacy.
Did that, go well?
No, it was a flop.
What? Oh. Really?
It was a flop. Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. I voted one of the worst movies. You know, the lemons or tomatoes, whatever.
The lemons.
Yeah, it was a lemon movie.
We should get your tomatoes reviews.
Yeah.
And what about number one, boys? Is he the best football player of all time?
Messi, give it to him and pray.
There you go. Give it to him and pray. That's a great bit of commentary. 75 million on field, 55 million off field, 130 million that he made last year.
Unbelievable.
Second time he's been named number one. Yeah. Displaced Conor McGregor as well.
Conor McGregor not even in the top 10.
No, he's had a quiet year.
And Ronaldo would be upset not being number one too. Do they like each other, Messi and Ronaldo? What do you reckon?
So. I don't think so.
When you're so much up there between number one and two, there's too much of a rivalry to be friends. Beautiful.
Up next, the big set of six.
The Rush Hour on Triple M.
Welcome back to the Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Time now to talk rugby league. Time now for this.
Lucky someone in the Rush Hour can count. This is Dell's big set of six. With everything from produce to general goods and so much more, you're bound to find a bargain at Paddy's. Over to you, Dell.
Yeah, we love Paddy's. Been backing us all the way since we're on that Saturday show, Dead Set Legends, boys. So thank you, Paddy's.
Probably my singing, actually.
That probably got him over the line, you would have thought, for sure, Del. Big set of six, all things around the game of rugby league. Tackle one, Jude.
Del, it's arguably the biggest NRL story of the year. Trent Barrett has left the Bulldogs. Where to now for the Dogs, and who do you think should coach?
Well, mate, they need to get this one right because the last couple of years they haven't got it right. There's such a strong culture, but over the last 5 or 6 years, they've actually been the laughing stock of rugby league. And, you know, Dogs fans, I've got mates who are Dogs fans, and they're just so disillusioned here. They need to get this right. Short term, I think Shane Flanagan is a guy that could do a good job there. Mate, he's a premiership coach. Obviously, he's got his finger in a few pies, you know, here and there. He's doing a good job in the media. But he's such a powerful influence, and he's got that old school history of, I think, coming through that sort of culture. I think he's a Canterbury boy. I think he comes through that junior system. They can go that way, or Cameron Serraldo. I said this all along, mate. I know he's highly, you know, he's highly wanted by a lot of different.
Will he get his pick of clubs though soon?
I think so. I don't think it's a bit like Craig Fitzgibbon. I don't think he needs to rush Serraldo, but this is a job. You need to get this right.
Will Penrith stand in the way of him going because they've got a little system there, haven't they, with Ivan Cleary?
But I think Penrith will allow him to go if he wanted to go, and especially with Phil Gould there.
Tackle two, what do you make of Cronulla and Parramatta's inconsistency? Will they contend for the premiership, or is it just a two-horse race between Melbourne and Penrith?
No. Look, you don't have to play your best football this time of year. I think it's only round 10 or round 11 we're getting to. It's, even for Parramatta fans, mate, you have to be playing your best football back end of the year. Probably not too bad at the moment. They'll get a few troops back over the next probably couple of weeks. I am a bit worried about the Sharks, but because they've had a drop in form. Mate, the way that they were playing at a level for so long, I said, mate, they're certainly top four side, but now I'm a little bit nervous, and this is what happens. You're up for so long, and it depends what you do. The drop-off's there, but it's not a two-horse race, let me tell you, boys. Origin's around the corner. I think New South Wales announced their squad next week or the week after.
They've got two more weeks for Freddie. Yeah. At the moment, a lot of blokes penciled in that you may not be around.
Yeah, but you got depth, and that's what New South Wales have got. They've got great depth there. It's not a two-horse race, boys. Let me tell you, it's pretty. It's not open, but there's four or five teams that can push for it.
Tackle three, speaking of Origin, he's in incredible form. Selwyn Cobbo's hat-trick in the Broncos thumping of Manly in Magic Round surely means he'll be picked.
Oh, I think so. Billy Slater's a massive fan. You know, you could go back and pick someone like a Corey Oates. Kyle Felt's playing good. The good thing for Queensland is we've got a bit of depth now. Xavier Coates is playing some really good football. But I tell you, this Selwyn Cobbo, I was talking to Steve Renoff, I think up there on Friday about him, and he's got a massive rap on him too. So when you got players of that old school sort of culture just excited about him, and don't forget, the tries that he scored, like, do you see when he opens up, he just goes, and mate, he reminds me of like
his
a
top line speed is huge.
Reminds me like a young Steve Renoff into an English into a Latrell Mitchell, you know?
Wow, that's a rap.
Yeah, I know, but just the way he's playing, and he just seems
he
a little
like
good.
Latrell Mitchell used to play in the under-20s.
Yeah, I remember that, mate. Yeah.
What about tackle four? Speaking of Manly, is it Tommy Turbo, 100% fit, and they're up. If not, they're no chance.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, mate. I always said you need a plan B and a plan C, Manly. You know, this is, mate, we know they've got a good squad. We know DCE's playing some good football, but, like, mate, Tommy Turbo must be frustrating because when he's not playing at his best, they do struggle. I know they won some games at the back end of last season and that, but, mate, I'd be resting Turbo until he's 100% right, you know. I just don't rush him in there. It was actually sad to see him run around like that out there on, you know, the other night because it was like he was playing on one leg.
Yeah, it was. It looked
and they
like
kept him out there.
Yeah, well, that was a really surprising thing. What about tackle five? Magic round, absolutely fantastic. Should we have a few of them? Should we have one in Auckland, perhaps one in Melbourne, you know?
Sydney.
Have one in Sydney. Can we have more of those?
I think we get it too good in Sydney. We get everything here. So we want to go to places like Auckland, even a place like Perth. I know it's dominated by AFL, but Perth always turn out for the rugby league, especially in that stadium over there. I reckon that could work. So for me, Auckland, and I think after what the Warriors have done, they deserve a little something, the New Zealand fans over there and the Warriors fans.
Yeah, good point. Tackle six, to finish it up, let's talk about player contracts. Are they too complicated with clauses? Because we hear now that Barrett's gone, so it opens up a whole lot of players that Bulldogs that can leave. Caelan Ponga's going, well, I'm going to play another year and go to the All Blacks after them saying he's there for 5 years. Is there too many clauses in players' favour?
Yeah, but it's up to the CEOs and obviously the board members to change that, because if you keep having an open system like that, of course player managers are going to explore all their options, you know. Why wouldn't you? So AFL, mate, we copy a lot of things from AFL. Mate, we need to learn more from AFL and make sure that you keep it simple, mate, you know, with our contracts. And, mate, yeah, rugby league players in general, I'm happy for league players to get whatever, but even the player managers and the clubs.
So they're the problem, the player 100%. Managers.
Yeah, but why wouldn't you do the
too
best?
Too much strength in the game.
Yeah, if there's loopholes there, why wouldn't you keep, you know, the fans like yourself and me and that, we get frustrated, you know.
What if Ponga goes to All Blacks next year and goes, oh, I'm going to play in a World Cup?
Yeah.
He's got that in his claws. And 3 weeks ago, he signs for 5 years and everyone's like, well, he's made the commitment to our club and our game.
Right.
So there you go. With everything from produce to general goods and so much more, you're sure to find a bargain at Paddy's. And that's it for today's podcast. For more of the show, you can catch us live on the radio tomorrow from 4 p.m. on Triple M.